I was happy to have made it on time. I slept 8 minutes into the alarm because my good ear was to the pillow. And then I was leaving and, oh no, I forgot to feed the old cats. One is 20-something.
Oh, wow.
And she's a tuxedo cat, kind of matted up, and I cut a mat off when she'll let me because she has sharp sharps. And the other cat is a tortoise bird cat. She's not quite so old, but she's getting there. And then I had to go back and take my vitamins. And then I had to get my old dog in. He's 14, and so he's getting up there too. And then there's little old me. I'm getting there too. So I'll wait till announcements. Anyway, that's my greeting, and I'm glad you all are here. I would have liked it even better if each person could have brought one. Anyway, once again, I tried, but trying doesn't produce results, I guess. I don't know. Hallie said to tell everyone hello. She was a bit under the weather this morning from food that disagreed with her last evening. So let's move on to our word today, which is peace. Embodying the peace of God, I create a peaceful world. Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright. I know peace as I hear the first words of the beloved Christmas carol. The peace I feel wells up from the depth of my being, from a place of silence filled only with awareness of God. The peace of God refreshes and restores me each time I visit this inner sanctuary, replacing anything unlike itself. My consciousness remains calm and bright as I return to the many activities of the day. As I embody peace, stress and tension transform into productive energy. Peace shows me there are possibilities for good in every situation and every relationship. Thoughts of peace, words of peace, and peaceful actions fill my day. I embody peace to help create a peaceful world. From Isaiah 26:3, those of steadfast mind you keep in peace because they trust in you. And our Advent candles, Deb has the pleasure of doing the one on peace, I believe.
We'll see. Okay, so I need to flip it over.
I'm going to hold that for you.
Either that or do this. Pretend I'm doing it.
How can I hold the microphone?
Oh, we need that too.
I'm supposed to like this.
Okay. Well, no. We relight the candle of faith.
Oh.
We have three people like this.
Yes, because I need help.
Oh, I do too.
So you have to hold this and press at the same time. That's why it's not Debbie friendly.
Oh.
This has to be.
Yeah, matches. I'm holding it.
This has to be
lighter next time.
Yeah. See, they used to be.
Well, there's different kinds of ones.
Yeah.
John, it might take you.
Maybe we relight the candle of faith.
Or cross matches. I like matches myself.
I should have brought my. I have long.
We're going to go home.
Yeah. Oh, but there's only two.
We have enough.
Okay. We relight the candle of faith. And today, on the second Sunday of Advent, we light the candle of peace.
Oh, gosh.
It says we.
The scratcher thing is, there's not a left, not left on it.
Isn't this fun?
Yeah. Four people.
You guys are.
How many unitics does it take to light a candle?
Sometimes peace takes some work.
That's right.
It's a group effort. Aha. Yay! Lord, hallelujah.
Okay. Well, go ahead. We could have done that one. Okay. Okay. We light the candle of peace. Okay. Dear God, in the depths of our soul lives a sense of peace that nothing can disturb. You are our inner source of comfort and strength that calms us. You are our assurance of security and serenity. Your presence within us is our source of happiness, fulfillment, and prosperity. You are a foundation of wholeness, physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual. As we begin the second week of Advent, we affirm, be still, be still, be still. And from Luke 2, verse 13 and 14, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to the God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.
Thank you.
Let us remain seated while we sing Shirley's a Presence.
Put a single thought, can say it's not, and if love is the lesson, how is the teacher taught? Our lives are connected like waves upon a shore. Sometimes with a whisper, and sometimes with a roar. Sometimes we think we leave no trace, but sometimes less is more. Our lives are connected like pages in a book. The past, the present, the rich, the future looks like waves upon a river, like ripples on a brook. Our lives are connected. We're going into the bridge again, friends. Who's to say the universe but a single thought contained within the mind of God? And who's to say it's not? And if love is the lesson, how is the teacher taught? Our lives, last verse, are connected like pages in a book. The past, the present, through which the future looks, like leaves upon a river, like ripples on a brook. Our lives are connected. Believe it, our lives are connected. Our lives are connected. Our lives are connected.
Thank you.
announcements. It is time for announcements. Does someone have some? I understand that we lost a good friend last night.
No.
Gosh, that's crazy. Her name escapes me.
Bonnie Carroll.
Bonnie Carroll. Yes, oh. Thank you.
Who?
And so,
Bonnie. Bonnie Carroll.
She had cancer, I understand.
No.
And
no?
That was not correct? No. Do you know more about her?
She's had many health issues, but she had liver failure.
Oh, yes. It's kind of an essential part of this, the liver. So, did we want to do hip parade or not? Do we want to do it? Do I hear, see nodding or this?
It's okay.
Consensus, yes?
No.
Okay. That's all right.
Yeah. Good.
It's all right. She bit blackberries with me several years ago. That's how I remember her.
Yes.
And she ran into a bee's nest. So I kind of don't go in that area when I pick now because maybe they're still there. I don't know. So blackberries have to be awfully good for me to risk that area.
And we have upcoming events here. We have our Burning Bowl White Stone ceremony in two Sundays. Three Sundays. Well, why don't you do it then? Three Sundays, and then the other one is the candle lighting, which is in two Sundays. What?
When do we burn?
We burn in three Sundays.
Oh. That would be the last Sunday of the month, correct? The Burning Bowl?
Yes. Go.
Okay. Yes.
And we do need two more people to volunteer to light one of the 12 power candles on the 22nd. So after church, I'm not going to wait for you to come see me now. I'm going to come see you.
Okay. Any other announcements? All right. Hearing none, we move forward to our unity statement, which we can all say together, please. We believe in our oneness with all life and the power of love. We teach universal principles and values as taught by Jesus and others, revealing the one God presence. We practice prayer, meditation, and service to be conscious of our oneness in God.
And our song of joy.
Bless you.
I don't know, do you stand up for this?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, it's a stand-up song anyway. There's a power.
Oh, yes. All right.
It's a power.
Everybody feeling like being a little bit aerobic this morning?
There you go.
We're going to start it out with a tango rhythm, and then when you get used to that, we're going to move into the 21-8 bossa nova, and I think we can be okay. All right? Anyway.
There's a power for good.
Are you ready, Johnny?
Need any help?
Got it.
Okay, so this is the reading from Christmas in My Heart, Christmas in My Hands. This is entitled Peace for Sunday, December 8, 2019. The scenes of serenity and easy camaraderie depicted on Christmas cards can fade in the face of more irritating facets of modern life. Overwhelm seems to be everywhere, and yet the call rings out, peace on earth, goodwill to all. Peace is something nearly all of us want, an ideal we strive to achieve in our lives, our families, our communities, and our world. We want to, as the song says, give peace a chance. What would the world look like if we gave peace more than a chance? What kind of a world could we create if we committed to peace, to think peaceful thoughts, feel peaceful feelings, and act peacefully? What if we lived as though peace were an inside job, which of course it is? We can picture peace easily when we imagine a newborn baby lying in a manger, when we see images of a tranquil winter scene blanketed in snow. We can feel our hearts filled with peaceful bliss when we listen to voices raised in song. But even as we enjoy the gifts of the season, so too can we experience its frustrations. Traffic, long lines, depleted store shelves, overloaded schedules, family disharmony. Where does the peace of the season go when usurped by these unwelcome happenings? Unity author Eric Butterworth wrote, "Things may happen around you, and things may happen to you, but the only things that matter are the things that happen in you." How can we live so that peace is happening from within? A key to peaceful living is to practice forgiveness as a way of living the truth we know. When we forgive, we are choosing to see beyond circumstance, beyond appearance, beyond our immediate reactions. Through forgiveness, we realize that peace comes from releasing resentments, blame, and frustration, and committing to see the truth in ourselves and others. Claiming this peace and living from it is a gift, and not just a gift for one person, it is a gift for everyone. When peace is our natural state, we bless every person, every relationship, every interaction, no matter how small or fleeting, with our peaceful presence. And from the Bible, keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. That's from Philippians 4:9. On this day of Advent, I resolve to live with an open, forgiving heart and bless others, family, friends, and even strangers with my peaceful presence. Peace.
Peace.
Thank you, John. Our meditation song, for which we remain seated.
Sound of angels playing.
chance to move and sway. God leads the way in my life's dance. What if I knew without a doubt? No need for fear. God is right here. With and without, my life is a prayer that God is praying. My thoughts are words that God is saying. My laughter is the sound of children. Is a prayer that God is saying.
I am thy will being done. I am on earth
even as I am in heaven. I am giving you this day daily bread to all. I am forgiving all life, even as I am also all life forgiving me. I am freeing all men and women from temptation. I am delivering all men and women from error. For I am the King, I am the power, and I am the glory of God in eternal, immortal manifestation. All this I am.
Please join together in singing Alleluia.
Fabulous. So if I may please get some assistance in handing out the handouts, and if someone is willing to take one downstairs to Penny, that would be awesome. Thank you. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. So a young boy went to visit Santa Claus and sit in Santa's lap and tell him what he wanted for Christmas. And the young boy told Santa, "What I want is a train set." And Santa said, "Well, okay, but you know, if I give you a train set, your dad's going to want to play with it too." And there was silence. And wanting to continue moving things along, Santa asked the young boy, "What else can Santa bring you?" And the young boy said, "How about a second train set?" So there are times in life when we are invited to change our thinking, to see things differently, to see things anew. And we know in unity, because one of our principles is that how we think co-creates our reality, how we think shapes our world. We know that we always have that invitation to change our thinking and change our experience. We have a great affirmation today. I'd like to invite us to say this December affirmation together. Oh, and maybe I could have the slide where where we've got the affirmation up there, the blue one.
Backspace, backspace, backspace.
Thank you. And this affirmation is also at the top of your handout. There we are. It says, I am a perfect child of God, filled with wisdom, peace, joy, and light. And I invite everyone to affirm that together with me.
I am a perfect child of God, filled with wisdom, peace, joy, and light.
Yes, this is so. So in Unity, we believe this is true for everyone, not just people here this morning, not just people who attend Unity churches, not just people I like, even the people that I might find challenging to get along with. We believe that God is all good everywhere present, and that God is in each of us, each person. And so we know that a way of navigating the world is to remember our divinity, to remember the divinity of others. And at the time of Christmas, when we are celebrating the birth of the Christ child, this is a great time to remember that Jesus was not God's only child, that we are each child of God. We are each child of the Most High. We are each the divine beloved that the universe is bringing forth. I wanted to talk a little bit about the Christmas story since it's getting close to Christmas. So there are two biblical accounts of the birth of Jesus in the book of Matthew and in the book of Luke. And I'd like to invite you to say, because you know I'm a teacher, so I like asking you questions and I like hearing what you know. What do you know about the story of the birth of Jesus in the Bible? What happens?
The star.
There's a star, okay. What else? I heard something over here.
Where do you want us to start?
Anywhere. Anything you remember.
Mary and Joseph, go to Bethlehem.
Mary and Joseph. Yes, they're taking a trip, going to Bethlehem. Anything else?
No room at the inn.
There's no room at the inn, okay?
She's riding a donkey.
She's riding a donkey, yep. What else? Oh, I heard Penny say something. What did
Pay your taxes.
Pay your taxes. We have to, yes, Joseph has to go to the town where he was born to be counted for the census, so he pays his taxes. Thank you, Penny. What else?
The wise men come.
The wise men come. Anyone else come to visit?
The shepherds.
The shepherds.
And the animals.
And there's animals, yep.
All kinds of
angels. All kinds of angels, yep. There's also a bad guy in the story. Do we remember who the bad guy is? Herod. Oh, why is Herod the bad guy? Anyone remember? Yeah. Herod was the king of the Jews, but he heard the three wise men come and say, hey, they were visiting the newborn king of the Jews. So he was like, oh, hey, come on back after you visit, because I want to go worship that newborn king too. But really, he wanted to destroy the baby Jesus. All right, so we have this fabulous story. Now, in Unity, remember, we don't necessarily take the Bible literally. And what I mean when I say that is we don't spend a lot of time worrying about did the actual facts happen the way they're lined up in the book of Matthew and the book of Luke or not. Maybe they did, maybe they didn't. We don't spend a lot of time worrying about that because we interpret the Bible metaphysically. And when I say metaphysically, I'm talking we look beyond the physical. We look at what do these characters represent in me? What does that newborn baby represent in me? What does that king who wants to destroy the newborn baby represent in me? What do the angels, what does the donkey, what do all these parts represent in me? And how can I use this understanding for a better understanding of my life? Now on your handout, there's a couple books that I mentioned that are great for folks who like to read. There's always further reading that one can do. I want to mention the very last book listed there on the page. It's called The Trip to Bethlehem, The Traditional Christmas Story as a Guide to Spiritual Transformation by Hypatia Hasbrook. If you want to get into a lot of detail about the symbolism of each of the characters and place names in that Christmas story, that's a great place to start. I'm going to focus on a couple things in this talk today. One is this idea of Herod. Okay? He was a king. He had been a king a long time. He felt a little threatened by hearing that a new king had been born. Now, this is a time I'm going to ask you a question where I don't want you to share, but I want you to think. I want you to think. So Herod represents that part of our consciousness that may be stuck, that may think, I have always done it this way. So I invite you to just think briefly about where in your life, and it could be current, maybe it's in the past, where in your life, and this is, you don't have to share, have I maybe had some thinking that was a little stuck? I've always done it this way. And if you feel so inspired, on your handout, there's a place you can jot anything down if you, like I said, if you feel so inspired about thinking about that stuck place. Remember also that we have this birth story. This baby is coming. And throughout the story, the baby is very protected. So at first, angels come and announce this is going to be this fabulous baby. And then Joseph learns that Mary's having a baby and they aren't 100% married yet. And he's thinking, well, maybe I'll just, you know, really quietly just kind of break things off. And an angel tells Joseph, hey, this baby's important. Continue. And so instead of pushing Mary away, Joseph enters into the marriage with Mary. And Mary rides the donkey on the journey because she's heavy with child. And they look for a safe place because she's going to have the baby any second. And they find a stable where she can have the baby safely. And then all of these creatures, the animals, the shepherds, the angels, the wise men, come to celebrate the baby. So this birth, this Christ child coming into being, represents what is that divine idea in us? What is that new experience or new belief that is trying to come forth? And so again, kind of like thinking about where are we in our Herod consciousness stuck, a question that I don't need you to answer out loud, but think in your head about what is trying to come forth in my life. And maybe it's something current, maybe it's a past thing. Where is this new idea trying to emerge in my life? There's a place on your handout too, if you feel like jotting down, what new idea am I birthing, that Christ presence? All right, so now I'll get into the questions that I do want to hear your thoughts on. So when we are in that Herod consciousness, that stuck thinking, that I've always done it this way thinking, and something new is trying to come forward for us, a new idea, a new experience, what tools can we use to help release that stuck thinking, that idea that I already know it all, I've already done it, and how can we nurture and support that new idea that's coming forward? What tools do we have to help us? This is where I want to hear your thoughts.
Meditation.
Meditation, absolutely. Sitting in the silence and listening, yes. Being open. What else?
I like to bounce ideas off of others.
Sure, yeah. Our community, the people we love who love us, the people that we trust, because we know that we are each the divine in expression, interacting with each other. And I saw what you were saying.
Yeah, courage to try it once and see how it feels to have something to compare it to. Does it feel good or does it feel uncomfortable compared to what I've been doing?
Yeah, I love it. The courage to try something new and then the mindfulness to check in. How did that go? Was it great? Was it terrible? Do I want to do it again? Do I not want to do it again? Any other tools we have that we can use? a couple of really powerful tools that our co-founders Charles and Myrtle Fillmore taught about were denials and affirmations. And in our beautiful reading from Donnie this morning, when he was reading about peace, one of the ideas that Eric Butterworth expressed was how forgiveness or release is connected to peace. So with that stuck thinking, that idea that I've always done it this way, we might need to do some release, let that idea go. We might need to forgive ourselves for thinking that it was always going to be that way. And we have that power of denial, which we remember doesn't mean that something doesn't exist, but it's our ability to say, hey, that has no power over me. You have no power over me. This stuck thinking is not the whole of who I am. And we remember that we follow up a denial with an affirmation, because when we deny something, it creates a vacuum and we want to fill it with good stuff. So we can say, hey, that stuck thinking is not the truth of who I am. I am open and receptive to this new birth happening in me. I am open and receptive to my good. I am open and receptive to a new experience. I know God is walking with me on every step of this journey. Or whatever affirmation we feel is going to support us in our journey. Now, one of our co-founders, Myrtle Fillmore, went on a spiritual journey. And I'm going to see if we can bring up the slide of Myrtle. Do we have her? Thank you, Donnie. By the way, while Donnie's finding that, I'll point out that the other two sources on your handout, How I Found Health by Myrtle Fillmore and The Story of Unity by James Dillip Freeman, are great resources in case folks want to know more about Myrtle's life. So here's our co-founder, Myrtle Fillmore. And this picture was taken when she was about 40. And she was a woman living her life like many of us. She was married. She had two children. And here's something that may be different from our experience. She was dying. She was extremely ill. The doctors had not given her much hope. She had what in her day was called consumption, which we today call tuberculosis. And in the time she was living, tuberculosis was responsible for killing about half of the people between ages 15 and 35. There was no cure. People didn't know why it happened. But there was a belief that it happened because of sloth. You were just too lazy. Or heredity. Well, you just came from a family where you're just a sickly family. And so Myrtle had grown up with a belief that she had inherited this illness, that there's nothing she could do about it. She and her husband, Charles, were pretty desperate. And they'd seen a bunch of doctors. They went to a bunch of people to try to get help. And eventually, when Myrtle was in her early 40s, they went to hear a speaker called E.B. Weeks. And this was in 1886. So actually, science by then, in 1882, had found that there was a bacterial cause for tuberculosis, but that information wasn't widespread, and the medical community still didn't know how to heal the medical condition. So 1886. Myrtle goes to hear this speaker, E.B. Weeks, and he said something which resonated with Myrtle. And if I can, Johnny, please have you advance the slide one. I am a child of God, and therefore I do not inherit sickness. I am a child of God, and therefore I do not inherit sickness. And this was Myrtle's big idea. Now, today, we usually talk about saying the denial first to create space for the affirmation. Myrtle was a beginner, so we can give her some grace that she said it a little backwards. But here was her denial. I do not inherit sickness. That is not my truth. That is not the truth of who I am. And here is her affirmation. I am a child of God. I want to read to you Myrtle's own words from How I Found Health, because I just love this and I find it so inspiring as she describes her spiritual journey using this truth. And just so you're mindful, in Myrtle's day, she did call God the Father. If that terminology does not work for you, remember you can always use your own term for God. So here's what Myrtle said. She said, here's the key to my discovery. Life has to be guided by intelligence in making all forms. The same law works in my own body. Life is simply a form of energy, and it has to be guided and directed in a person's body by his or her intelligence. How do we communicate intelligence? By thinking and talking, of course. Then it flashed upon me that I might talk to the life in every part of my body and have it do just what I wanted. I began to teach my body and got marvelous results. I told the life in my liver that it was not torpid or inert, but full of vigor and energy. I told the life in my stomach that it was not weak or inefficient, but energetic, strong, and intelligent. I told the life in my abdomen that it was no longer infested with ignorant ideas of disease, put there by myself and by doctors, but that it was all alive with the sweet, pure, wholesome energy of God. I told my limbs that they were active and strong. I told my eyes that they did not see of themselves, but that they expressed the sight of spirit and that they were drawing on an unlimited source. I told them that they were young eyes, clear, bright, because the light of God shone through them. I told my heart that the pure love of Jesus Christ flowed in and through its beatings and that all the world felt its joyous pulsation. I went to all the life centers of my body and spoke words of truth to them, words of strength and power. I asked their forgiveness for the foolish, ignorant course that I had pursued in the past when I had condemned them and called them weak, inefficient, and diseased. I did not become discouraged at their being slow to wake up, but kept right on, both silently and aloud, declaring words of truth until the organs responded. And neither did I forget to tell them that they were free, unlimited spirit. I told them that they were no longer in bondage to the carnal mind, that they were not corruptible flesh, but centers of life and energy omnipresent. Then I asked the Father to forgive me for taking his life into my body and using it so wastefully. I promised him that I would never, never again retard the free flow of that life through my body and my mind by any false word or thought, that I would always bless it and encourage it with true thoughts and words in its wise work of building up my body temple, that I would use all diligence and wisdom in telling it just what I wanted it to do. So powerful. So powerful. So Myrtle had to take some time because she'd been telling herself this for over 40 years. And every day she went into the silence, she went into prayer, she went into meditation and did what she talked about. She forgave herself, she affirmed health in parts of her body, and within 2 years, she healed herself completely of tuberculosis. She went on to have a third child in her 40s. She actually lived to be age 86 at a time when human life expectancy was a much lower number than that. And she said, I haven't discovered something new, but I found a way to make it new for me. And I know that each person can use this and make it new for themselves. And through her experience, her neighbors and friends noticed that she had gotten better and started coming to her and saying, hey, can you help me with my problem? And even her husband, who'd been a little bit of a cynic, said, huh, maybe there's something to this whole prayer and meditation experience that my wife has figured out. And because of Myrtle's experience, Silent Unity started and the Unity Movement started. So I want to leave you with these thoughts at Christmas time that my hope is that each of us can explore our own spiritual journey. Each of us can continually search our consciousness for where am I having an experience or thinking that I am stuck. And each of us can see that precious Christ presence, that divine idea, that beautiful thing that is coming forth to be born, and we can figure out, how do I nurture it? How do I protect it? How do I help bring it forth into reality? And let's affirm one more time our affirmation together. And I'm going to ask Donnie if he can pull it up one more time on the slide. I think it's the next slide. And I'll say it, and then let's affirm it together. I am a perfect child of God, filled with wisdom, peace, joy, and light. So I invite you to say that, knowing it is true. I am a perfect child of God, filled with wisdom, peace, joy, and light. All right, let's take these ideas into meditation. I'm going to sit down here.
Background? New age, ambient, whatever?
Sure, thank you. Thank you for offering. And as Dallas is getting set up, I invite everyone to take a moment, settle into your chair, breathe in, breathe out, feeling yourself fully supported, knowing that you are supported by the chair, by the building, by this community, and by the divine. Knowing your truth is, you are that beloved child. You are that beloved child of God. Because you are that beloved child, you know that your inheritance is divine blessing. You know that anything you can envision the divine as, that you express as well. That you are divine wisdom in expression. You are divine peace. You are divine joy. Most of all, you are divine light. You shine. You shine in your life. You shine in the lives of others around you. You shine beyond even those you know. You contribute to the blessings in this world. And I invite us all to take a few moments in the silence, just with that awareness, letting these words be the words of your own heart. I am the light. I am the light. And one last time before we take a moment in the silence. I am the light. Joy. I am wisdom. And as we go throughout the remainder of our day and our week, we see this truth easily for ourselves and for everyone we interact with, that we are each the light. We are each the beloved child of God. We know this is so, and so it is. Amen.
Sorry. Thank you.
It is time for offering. There will be two containers coming around. The silver one is for supporting our church, and the copper one for our outreach programs. Our offering prayer is located inside your program. Let's say it together as we hold our offering in our hands. Divine love, through me, blesses and multiplies all that I give and all that I receive. Healing energy for someone, just call out their name or hold them quietly in your hearts.
Eugene.
Mattikaya. Julian. Mike Boy. Jackson.
Beloved Mother, Father, God, we ask for the highest and greatest good for our brothers and sisters and endeavor to see them through your eyes, knowing all is in divine order. Amen. The prayer of protection, let's say that together. You'll find it up on the wall or the back of your program. The light of God surrounds us. The love of God enfolds us. The power of God protects us. The presence of God watches over us. Wherever we are, God is, and all is well.
I would like to thank Penny for being greeter, Dallas and Linda for the wonderful music, and Johnny for our inspiring reading, and Audrey for our further inspirational talk and things we can put into practice, and Deb for reading our peace portion for our Advent candles. And we can all sing, and do we need to blow these out now?
And Gail, thank you. For...
Thanks.
Thank you. Yes. Thank you.
So, we can stand and all sing together. So, how did you blow these out? Yes.
Let there be peace.
but I'm just using all the angels for invitation for us to
We're supposed to decorate this
room.
See you soon.